Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And now, winner of 3 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. Good morning, Milwaukee. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. A lot to talk about today. We're going to cover plenty on the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll start with that. Badger stuff coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about that game against BYU and the playoff chances moving forward. Some spirited discussions that you may have had with people over the weekend about if their chances are dead or not. We'll do that around 7 o'clock, get back into the Brewers, touch on the Packers throughout the day, and ask Chuck and Winkler anything at 8:45, where you send us questions, and no matter how ridiculous they are, you can tweet these questions at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We will answer them. We'll do that at 8:45 today. Badgers coming up, Packers coming up, but I think we start with the Brewers, where another anemic is a good word. Night offensively as the Brewers fall 3-1 to the Reds.
Yeah, just a quiet night again for the bats. As Council likes to say, quiet night for the offense. Not much noise out there. It just seemed like an empty night at Miller Park. I know you and I will have talked about the crowds and the type of crowd should be out there. Just seemed like a scattered, smattered, empty night at Miller Park. You know, a couple of fans here, a couple of fans there.
I'd tread carefully here.
I know, but I'm not blaming anybody.
People get upset.
Well, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, you know, it didn't seem like there was a large crowd out there. I'd say about, that was what, the 29 announced? I'd say more like 24,000.
Well, I got there. By the way, if you think tickets are too much, I bought tickets at 3 o'clock yesterday on SeatGeek, 5 rows above the Brewers dugout for $40 a piece.
You know what's funny is the tickets for weekday games you can get like that, but weekend games getting inexpensive tickets, I mean, those prices jump up on a Sunday, especially when they're giving something away. But weekdays, it seems like you could pick your spot at that place.
The thing for me is we can argue case by case, house by house, this family should go, this family should... I mean, that's not what we're doing. I think what my main concern is there was a series last year against the Pirates where they were in a pennant race, and it was in September. And then there's this series right now against the Reds, and I know they're midweek, and I know that school's in session, and I know that you as a family or as a person, you've got a million things going on. We all do. But when I go to a game, when the Brewers are in a pennant race, at least the wild card race, even when I get there, even the people that do show up, it just did not feel like September. And
no.
I think that buzz is around town.
It felt like May.
Yeah, the buzz is around town for sure. I think that the TV numbers are, Fox Sports Wisconsin's like having a record year. People are coming to the radio in droves to talk about their favorite team. And that's why we're here. And that's all happening. But in the actual facility of Miller Park, unless they're playing the Cubs, that playoff atmosphere seems to be missing.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, too, there's got to be some costs involved. You know, we go to the concession stand. There's me, Shannon, and her dad at the game. You know, with our season tickets, we got we had a Tuesday game last night in the partial plan. So her dad came with us, and, you know, we go out and get the 2 beers and Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew for Freems because he's going to the locker room after the game. So I'm not drinking any beer. So it was $20 for 2 beers And, you know, Diet Mountain Dew, a little bottle of Diet Mountain Dew. And it's like, man, you're shocked because you get $20. Yeah, it's $8 a beer, but that's the way it is going to games. I know that. It's always been expensive.
Well, Miller Park, though, is one of the rare ballparks that lets you just bring in, like, anything you want.
But you can't bring in any beer, though.
No, but you can bring in liquids.
Yeah. Can you bring in bottles of soda?
Unopened, I believe.
Can you? Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
If we're wrong, correct us. You can definitely bring in food.
I don't know that end of it. Because, you know, I'm mostly doing the press box thing, so I don't know exactly what the rules are for what you can bring. If that's the case, that's great. But still, if you're going to the ballpark, you know, if you don't come prepared, if you're coming from work and you're going to grab a couple of beers and or soda, whatever, and then it's $20, it's like, geez, that's like a whole meal if you go somewhere to eat, for one person at least. Maybe a little less than that, but it's just, okay, I mean, the crowd was, you know, you and I have gone back and forth about supporting this team, but it's always, even Bart back in the old County Stadium, it was worse. I mean, in the 82, 83 teams, they were contending, 87, and you'd get to Miller Park or the County Stadium, and there was nobody at the games. And you wouldn't even think it's a team that's contending. I told you when Molitor's hitting streak ended at 39, they had worldwide attention for that, and there was 11,000 fans at the game playing, they were contending. So and it was in August. I just don't understand it, but I guess I think I'm going to have to see where some of the other attendance figures were last night on others contending. I also think that Brewer fans have looked at it and they say, well, you know what, they're not catching the Cubs.
And they're playing the Reds, and they're not a draw.
You're right, they're not a draw, but if it was a weekend, probably more. There was 32,000 out there on Sunday up against a Packer game, so I think that's still pretty good.
Yeah, again, per capita, the Brewers fan base is the best.
Yeah,
we have less people to draw from. And yet I think people are still showing up at games all season. I'm just saying, when it's September, something seems to be missing. There seems to be, you know, the outfield. I went to go buy a beer. We bought a craft beer at the little craft beer shop over in right field, and I said, all right, I'm gonna go buy a brat right over here in the outfield. The concession was closed.
Yeah,
outfield concession is closed because they know that they didn't sell enough tickets in the outfield.
Yeah.
And I was kind of shocked by that. But also, Chuck, the guys last night in the uniforms, I mean, they didn't do much to make it feel like September either.
No, I mean, so many nights this year like that where they strand a couple of guys, they just go down so meekly, and I don't get it. I don't get it. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me sometime today. Why this offense? How do you explain how meekly these guys are offensively? There's guys up and down that lineup who can hit. They got an MVP candidate in that order. There's guys who could hit, and man, they go so helplessly sometimes. I mean, the Reds pitching staff, you know, we're not talking about the Atlanta Braves in the 90s here. Michael Lorenzen making his first start since 2015, and the relievers, the Sal Romanos of the world, and he'll lose to those guys on three hits? I don't get it. I don't understand why they struggle so badly, Bart. I don't know. And it's been, and I thought, hey, you know, when they traded deadline, you know, you and I back and forth this summer about should they get some pitching, I said, well, you need some offense to help this offense. And they went out and got some offense, and it still has not helped.
Yeah, I was sitting with my brother, and we looked at the lineup, and we've talked about this too, where you look at the lineup, and it's Granderson, Yelich, Kane, Shaw, Aguilar, Moustakas, Scope, Pena, and the pitcher.
I mean, look at that. At least the first seven.
A year ago, you look at that offense, and you think, huh? What happened here? But then over time, yes, they added Kane. They added Yelich. Yelich has become an MVP candidate. Kane probably should be as well. Curtis Granderson has been a great addition to this team. Travis Shaw has been cranking home runs all season. Aguilar has cooled off, but he was an all-star. Moustakas, Scope, these guys have hit before. And it seems like they're all off. They're either all on or they're all off, and that's been a Brewer thing since the dawn of time. Either they're all hitting and they score 11 runs against the Cubs, or 8 runs last night, 2 nights ago against the Reds, or they score 1 run last night, or in the Pittsburgh series, 3 runs on Saturday and Sunday combined. they're scoring runs, and then they're not. And last night, in this series against the Reds, and this series against the Pirates, two teams that, I mean, they're better than, they're just not putting up runs against them. And it's very puzzling, and it's very troubling.
Yeah, Friday night against Chris Archer, a guy everybody wanted, they score against him. But then they come back Saturday and Sunday night, you're talking there, and they're just so bankrupt offensively. And I just don't understand it. And ultimately, that's going to cost them once they get into the postseason, because I think they are. Once they get in the postseason, it's going to ultimately catch up with them if they can't score any runs.
Well, we'll look at that in a minute in the Brew Crew Review. A couple of tweets. Chris tweeting at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Yeah, guys, you can bring in plastic bottles of water or soda.
Okay.
As long as it's still factory sealed. Hashtag Usher knowledge.
All right.
So that's proof.
That's good.
David tweets in, says, guys, went to the game last night. Not much to cheer about. The offense struggled. That's what I'm worried about. Should we make it to the wild card game? If that offense doesn't show up, season will be over.
Bart, that's their number one detriment.
Oh, if the offense from last night shows up,
that's their number one detriment as far as postseason success. Like nights like last night, nights like Sunday, afternoons like Sunday, Saturday. It's just, we've seen it so many times. And I thought after Monday night they scored 8 runs, I thought, okay, you're going to break out of it last night, and it'll carry on from Monday. And you know, they come up and 1 earned run. That's all they could get.
Well, that's the problem, too, with the wild card game where it appears the Brewers are headed, because, yes, you could get into a wild card game and you could be having a good night. You could score 8 runs like they did on Monday, or you could be in a wild card game and you just put up 1 run. If you're putting up 1 run against Michael Lorenzen, I mean, what are you going to do against Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah.
That's why the 1 run, the 1 game playoff is so hated in baseball. Because you could put up 8 one night, but you can also, you know, fall flat on your face. You should have a few more games to figure out truly who's the better team. Last night, Brewers just scored the 1 run. We'll look at where that puts them in the playoff race. Other results last night in the major leagues, not good. The wild card matchup appears to be nearly set.
And it appears we got further injuries to deal with the heart of that order. A couple of guys went down last night, and we could check that out, too.
Yeah, we'll give you updates on those guys that had to leave the game last night in Lorenzo Cain and Travis Schott. Chuck and Winkler, Brew Crew Review up next. More on this. We'll also talk about the Badgers. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Get to the Packers as well. But some injury updates and more on the offense coming up.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer, Milwaukee's new favorite imported beer. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. And by Palermo's King Cheese Pizza, the ruler of great taste. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We scored 8 runs last night, so it's going to happen. I mean, we're not going to score 8 runs every game the rest of the year. So they pitched well tonight. A couple, 3-4 hitters came out of the game early. It's just one of those nights.
I think every game this time of year, with the race, how close it is for all these teams that are in the hunt, yeah, I think every game is meaningful, and you know, our goal is to try to win each and every game.
There's never easy games on the schedule. You don't look at it like that. You know, we got to focus on how we're playing, and we got to do a little better.
Travis Schott, Chase Anderson, Craig Counsell last night after the Brewers 3-1 loss to the Reds. Travis Schott, scary moment for him, got beamed in the knee. Was down, ran the bases, scored the game's only run, barely.
Almost stayed at third base.
Yeah, he was running around third and kind of. I
don't understand what he was not cut 2 outs.
I don't know what happened there. Did Ed pull him up or
no?
Was he worried about his knee?
Could have been. He thought maybe it was. I think it was probably a judgment on him that you know he didn't think he could score, but he did. He hesitated and he almost didn't score, but he did score.
He ended up scoring on a Jonathan Scope RBI single, but it was the only run of the game, 3-1. You also saw Lorenzo Cain leave the game. What inning was like the 5th inning?
4th inning.
4th inning, Lorenzo Cain left Counsell afterwards.
Well, we'll see how we're looking tomorrow, but you know, it's the kind of thing that you know, he's pretty adamant about wanting to play, but you know, we got to be careful with this thing, too.
They said he didn't like some of the at-bats, how they looked, and the word that Ryan Braun made popular around here, intercostal, came back up.
Yeah.
So Lorenzo Cain dealing with something. I don't know if that's going to sideline him. He obviously wants to play. Cain seems to be a guy who wants to play through pain, but I don't know if the Brewers, they have to make those decisions and see what's best short-term, long-term. So we'll see if he's in the lineup.
Yeah, right side of his ribcage. That's where this is bothering him. And, you know, it's one of those deals where it could bother him the rest of the season. You got to give him some rest if it's going to heal. They can't afford to give him any rest right now because he's a very important part of that team. So he's questionable for tonight's game. There's some I bet you he doesn't play. And as far as Shaw, bone bruise with the after getting hit with the pitch, so that could be. I mean, he could be back in there tonight.
I was there, I saw it. Actually, I was talking to my brother, so I looked, I saw Shaw on the ground. So sometimes when I'm at games, what I'll do real quick is I want to see the replay. And they don't show enough replays. Is that a Brewer thing? I don't know. I just feel like they never show replays at the ballpark.
They don't show enough replays. I'll say the Packers show more replays.
Like, I wanted to see the replay of Travis Shaw. I feel like when I'm at the game, I'm almost, should be like I'm watching TV, but in front of my face.
Well, they don't show, I mean, like moments like that, they didn't show the replay at all.
No.
So what are you going to do? They'll show instant replays of like a close play where they're reviewing it. But like at Bucks games, they'll go back and forth and they'll dissect it right down to the frame on the board with the NBA. They'll go right to the headquarters in New Jersey and go right down to the frame. Last night, yeah, they were going slow motion on a play at first base, but it's like, yeah, don't be afraid to show that, guys, or replays.
But like, even when somebody scores or a home run, I'm trained to expect a replay from mm-hmm. watching TV, and when you're at the game live, you don't see that. So I scrambled, got my phone out.
Yeah.
Got my Fox Sports Go app up, opened it, because the TV's already on a little delay from real life, but then the app's on like a 30-second delay. So if you get it up in time, you can see it and then rewind and stuff. So I was watching what happened to him. Yeah, it was Shaw, man. That I thought he was going to be down for a while. To see him run the bases and to know that he could play tonight is kind of surprising based on my initial thoughts when I first saw him go down.
Yeah, I was in the locker room, part of the media interviewing him after the game last night, and yeah, a little bit of a limp there, obviously, and who knows how it's going to feel today. But I mean, he was hit with a baseball right in the bone, and you know, he had to come out of that game. So Shaw and Lorenzo Cain, two big parts of that offense, man. I thought there was some opportunities last night too. Even though they only had three hits, they had a couple of guys on base. I mean, they're only down 3-1 for a majority of that game, and just couldn't. Moustakas grounds into a double play with a guy at first and one out, and that ends the inning. And Granderson to lead off the ninth inning. Bart gets on top of the order, and your guys are coming up, and they couldn't get it done.
I was watching some of the Fox Sports post game last night. Tim Dillard, who is now a part of that, at least for a little bit, the minor league pitcher in the Brewers system. You may know him on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But he had a good point. He said this was a game that was over within the first 2 minutes when Peraza hit the home run. Chase just didn't have it. 3 2/3 for Chase. Gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs. Did strike out 5. Did not make it through the fourth inning. Falls to 9-8 on the season. Chase just did not have it last night, and I actually wouldn't have been surprised if he would have been pulled sooner. They had guys up in the third inning. You just tell right away it was not going to be a night for him.
That's two starts in a row for Chase. There's no, and I don't care what counsel says, there's no trust with Chase right now because he gives up the home run ball. These guys going through the third time of the order looking at him, there's very, very little trust. They got him out of there in a fourth inning. Here's a guy who is the number one starter, I guess, on this team going into the season. And, you know, he had some high expectations after what happened last year. But, obviously, they don't feel comfortable with him on the mound. They'd rather go to their 14-man bullpen. Which, fine, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. It's too bad you can't trust Chase Anderson to work more of a game.
4 starts this month, 5 innings, 4 innings, 3 2/3 innings.
Well, even last week at Wrigley, they got him out of that game 4 innings and I want to say 2 hits.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
They turned it over to the bullpen. That might have been the Wednesday game. But that's where we're standing. We're going to see. We'll see that. I think these starters are going to have a short leash, and Council's got the 14 guys out of the bullpen. He's going to give those guys a workout out there in the bullpen.
It's my understanding that some fans are getting worried about them collapsing. So we'll take a look at where the Brewers are right now. They're back of the Cubs. I believe is it 3.5? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
3.5 back of the Cubs.
You know, we've written off the Brewers before with the Cubs.
10 to play.
It's going to be tough. They've won their first 2 games in Arizona. Won it 9-1 last night. 3.5 with 10 to play. That's tough. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is.
Cardinals won again. That's 3 in a row for them against Atlanta last night, 8-1. So where the Brewers are at in the wild card is 2 up on St. Louis in the wild card, and then they're 3.5 up of being in the playoffs over the Rockies right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's going to be the Braves are going to win the East. The Cubs are likely to win the Central. The Dodgers seem to be now in pole position in the West. And they could still fight a little bit with the Rockies there in a series that continues tonight. So for the wild card, it would come down to Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Colorado. And right now, you think Milwaukee should be safe. I'm looking at Fangraphs. I'm looking at CBS Sports when it does their percent chances to make the playoffs, win the division. To win a division, they've got like a 3% chance. But to make the postseason, they've got anywhere from 97 to 99%. There is still a slim chance they miss out. If the Rockies are able to get hot and the things get really bungled in the West and the Brewers keep losing, and if you're worried about the Brewers, I mean, they play the Cardinals coming up. They have to go to Pittsburgh this weekend, so it's not going to be necessarily easy. But for now, they should be there. I just don't like seeing Brewers lose and then Cardinals win, Cubs win, because I've kind of put myself that we're hosting a wild card game.
Yeah, it'd be disappointed if they blew the 2-game lead for the top wild card spot, especially if they blew the 3.5-game lead on Colorado, because the Rockies are struggling. Yeah, the Dodgers are probably going to go on to win the National League West. I mean, they got the best team out there.
Yeah,
they're going to win the National League West. And
they're kind of Cleveland Cavaliering it a little bit, where they're not going to try their hardest until they have to.
I'd rather have them win the National League West than get a wild card.
Oh, for sure.
Because then he can avoid them, as we mentioned with Kershaw. So if they're going to win the National League West, I almost want them to keep on winning against Colorado so you could knock Colorado further out. Philadelphia is pretty much done.
But I'd rather play Colorado than St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I kind of want Colorado to win.
Well, but then if Colorado wins and they're playing the Dodgers, that means the Dodgers will be fighting
just
for a wild card.
Just take a nap for 10 days and wake up in and a half, and then we'll see where everyone is, and you won't have to stress out about it.
Although that series next week with the Brewers and Cardinals, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that could be for home field advantage in the wild card.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
But the Brewers got to build some equity before that series.
And playing teams like the Pirates and Reds is where you think you can build that equity.
Yeah.
It hasn't been happening for the crew. Chuck and Winkler, more on the Brewers throughout the morning. The offensive problems we're really going to get into in about an hour, 7:30. Make sure you're with us for that. We'll talk some Badgers next hour as well. Before 7 o'clock, going to do our power rankings, and then we've got to talk about the Brewers' new arrangement in Texas. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. Hey, I'm sure you've heard me talking about International Autos Hyundai, some of the other guys on the station, Gary, Billy. I know a lot of guys are driving cars, McGivern, a lot of guys driving Hyundais around here because it's a good car. And we've all kind of found a dealership that we like with Hyundai West Dallas. These are good dudes, Dan, Anthony, Chris, Mike, Roger, Pam, a lot of good men and women there, not just in the a car selling part of it, but the service department. Brian over there now, real good guy. Golf with him once. Real good guy. The real good people. And I didn't know these people. I had no idea who these people were a couple years ago. And when I was in Milwaukee finally full time, I thought, I need a car dealership. Because growing up in Fond du Lac, I went to where my best friend worked. And so you think, well, this is great. I've got someone on the inside. I've got a best friend. I'm going to get these deals. I'm never going to get screwed. I'm always going to be told the right thing. And so I've always kind of been looking for a friend in the car dealership business, because I've gone to other places that have screwed you. I mean, it happens. So you got to find a place where you know you can trust these guys. You got to find a place where the relationships are good. You got to find a place that cares about customer service. And they most definitely do at Hyundai West Dallas. Highway 100 and Arthur. If you live downtown or Waukesha, Brookfield, you're really just 15 minutes away from a better deal. Make sure you tell them that you listen to the fan. Make sure you tell them that you listen to the fan, because on top of all the great deals that Hyundai's going to give you in the first place, they will be able to give you a little bit more because of the relationship. They love sports. They love the fan. So they're going to love you right away. Let them know. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100 and Arthur. Chuck, we've got to talk about two very important people in the Brewers hierarchy in the coming years. Henry the Puffy Taco and Balapeno the Jalapeno.
Well, the taco I'm really on board with, and I'm good with jalapenos.
We will introduce you to Henry the Puffy Taco and Balapeno the Jalapeno. And we'll do that next here on The Fan.
It's been a great affiliation. It's been one of the best minor league relationships I've ever been a part of. It's a first-class organization. It serves our players very well. And we're really thrilled that we're going to be able to be with the Timber Rattlers until at least 2022.
That's David Stearns, Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, served up by Perkins here on The Fan. That was Friday. Friday, David Stearns and the Timber Rattlers announced that they were going to extend their partnership. And for the Milwaukee Brewers to have a single-A affiliate so close, I mean, it's a dream. Milwaukee to Appleton, you can send guys there for rehab starts. You can watch and develop a fan base. It's an absolute dream. And as good as that situation is in single-A, it has not been great or ideal in triple-A. The Brewers getting bounced from Nashville a few years ago because Nashville was tired of not having winners, from what I understand. Now the Brewers, I mean, minor league is much, much better off. So they were forced to find the last dance partner a few years ago, and that dance partner was Colorado Springs. So they found Colorado Springs. Well, Colorado Springs, their team is actually going from a triple-A team to it's going to be a single-A, a rookie ball team. And the team from Helena that the Brewers, don't lose you here. Helena is going to go from Helena to Colorado Springs. The ownership group that ran Colorado Springs is now running the San Antonio Missions, which was a double-A team for the Padres, but they're moving into triple-A. So the Brewers lost Colorado Springs and had to find another team. There's only three teams left. They could go to Fresno, which is way on the West Coast. They didn't want to do that. They could go to Nashville, which we just mentioned there were some problems with the first time around. And then the other one was San Antonio. And announced yesterday, it's going to be the San Antonio Missions for the Brewers AAA affiliate starting next year.
Well, the Pacific Coast League, it's quite different than it used to be. The Brewers used to be in the Pacific Coast League when they were with when they were in Denver. They before the Rockies moved there. The Brewers AAA affiliate.
So
was there.
San Antonio is in a different league than Colorado Springs.
Yeah, the Pacific Coast League has expanded to 16 teams. I don't remember it being that big, but I mean, you got the Iowa Cubs in the Pacific Coast League, Iowa. It doesn't make any sense, but. I mean, we've always had Tacoma in there, Fresno, Salt Lake.
All right, Colorado Springs was in the Pacific Coast League, so it's still in the Pacific Coast League.
It is.
Okay.
But it's in the – there's four divisions.
What's the other one called?
The American Association?
There's two minor league – like, what are the Durham Bulls in? What are they in?
I thought that's the American Association. I'll look it up here.
International League.
International League, okay. Yeah.
The American Association of Independent Ball Players, not to confuse you more, is where the Milwaukee Milkmen will be playing.
That's the Saints.
That will be starting next year. We'll have a team in that. But that's independent of the Brewers.
Okay.
Are you with
us?
Well,
they're, the American Association used to, now it used to be a regular minor league. A regular minor league affiliate. I mean, Indianapolis was in it, and there were other teams. I mean, the Brewers' farm system, AAA used to be in Indianapolis, and that was great because you could ship guys back and forth. Initially, I was thinking the Pacific Coast League, that's tough because if you're shipping guys out to the West Coast, because the Brewers, as we've known all season long, David Stearns likes to ship guys from back and forth from AAA on an instant. But if you're trying to get a guy from Fresno, if they're playing out there, or Tacoma, or Sacramento, or El Paso, depending on where they're playing. I don't know how the crossover games work. But, you know, some of these other teams in the Pacific Coast League, like Nashville and New Orleans, if your team is playing there, I guess it's not so bad. It depends. I mean, Pacific Coast League, just odd to see the Pacific Coast League and you got Nashville in it, which is, you know, southern part of the country. Odd.
Well, the Brewers were in the Pacific Coast League with Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So they still are. But your point is right. When you're, it's been tough for travel. Sometimes guys miss flights, and it can be tough, and you can't just pull up a guy. That's why the relationship between Milwaukee and the Timber Rattlers is so great, because there is that connection. But you kind of want that, and other teams have gone on to accomplish that. Sometimes they flat out own their AAA team, which the Brewers do not currently do, something that Mark Anazio's looked into. The closer to better, because then you can just get a guy, hey, Uber him down to Omaha here from Kansas City, and we'll be fine. Instead, you got to travel, coordinate, and do all this stuff. And the Brewers, they haven't had a consistent club for a while. They're still with the same ownership, at least. But now when we say Colorado Springs, we'll instead say San Antonio. One area that improves instantly is they're getting out of the altitude, which the pitchers absolutely hated. So they're getting out of that, going to be in San Antonio. A couple of fun facts about San Antonio and the missions. The Brewers play-by-play man, Brian Anderson, that's where he honed his craft as, as a broadcaster for the San Antonio missions back in the day when they were a double-A affiliate.
Also, former Milwaukee Wave broadcaster Tom Wynn, a good buddy of mine, cut his teeth with San Antonio before Brian.
Well, look at that.
Back in the 80s.
San Antonio was actually the Brewers AAA squad way back in 1972. And they kept the name Brewers through 76, despite switching to Cleveland and Texas in those years. So this is not the first time the Brewers have been with San Antonio. And Henry the Puffy Taco. Listen to this. They've got two main mascots, Balapeno the Jalapeno.
San Antonio does?
Yeah. And then Henry the Puffy Taco. And the promotion is a kid from the stands between the ages of 6 and 10 in the seventh inning of each game races Henry the Puffy Taco around the bases. Now, every single time they start at first base, the kid is supposed to tackle the giant taco before he reaches home plate, and the kid always wins. So the kid's told the race, he knows he gets to tackle the taco, and then he wins. One time in 1992, Henry the Puffy Taco mistimed his steps, inadvertently crossed home plate before his 10-year-old opponent did. And then 20 years later, they had a rematch.
Oh,
so the grown man who was 20 years ago lost to this taco got to redo the race, jump on the taco.
It was a shoot.
And win. Yeah. So just a little background on the San Antonio missions. Henry the Puffy Taco and their other mascot, their main mascot, Balapeno the Jalapeno.
All right, so this will be the Brewers' third different city since 2014 at the AAA level when they left Nashville and then they went to the Colorado Springs we talked about, now San Antonio. So they've been bouncing around a little bit, but they didn't like the relationship at Colorado Springs.
They didn't like the location. They're with the same ownership group.
Yeah, they didn't like the weather.
Yeah. The weather, the altitude.
Taylor Youngman will claim it ruined his career.
Taylor Youngman will claim that.
Yeah.
I tried to interview him once about it, and he didn't want to talk about it.
Don't talk about Colorado Springs.
I said, hey, down in the minor leagues, he says, I don't want to talk about it.
And, you know, it's funny because when he got called up a couple of times, and in the locker before the game, before the media even asked him any questions, he said right out, just what he told you. I don't want to talk about Colorado Springs. So when the Brewers were in Denver, the Brewers would often have some of their hitters down at Denver just put up monstrous numbers, just monstrous numbers. Like a Joey Meyer, guys like this, guys who were minor league legends. They'd get up to the Brewers and did nothing. And then they got out of Denver. But when they were in Vancouver, man, it was always difficult getting guys. I mean, even when they're in Colorado Springs, we hear all the time, well, so-and-so got here in the seventh inning, and he put his uniform on and he pinch hit.
Yeah. San Antonio should be a little better, but again, it's not ideal. The closer, the better.
Yeah.
The Brewers just haven't been able to lock down that relationship. I mean, it's almost like they're getting farther, Indy to Nashville, than Colorado Springs.
They had no choice.
But at least in the same time zone with San Antonio. So that's the big news from yesterday. By the way, Taylor Youngman is still pitching. He is with the...
The Milkman?
No, not quite. Yomiuri...
Oh, Japan?
Giants? He's in Japan.
Yomiuri Giants?
Oh, wow!
Yeah. Yomiuri Giants.
How do you know that, Mr. Baseball?
No, just from... You know, covering baseball all these years.
Great movie.
Was he Mr. Baseball? Tom Selleck? Was he from your Mary?
I don't know what team he was on, but I'm sure they played him at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure they played him. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We're going to talk about the Badgers coming up, if they have any chance at the national championship, why they do, and why they certainly do not. That'll be at 7. Our power rankings next. This happens every year. Every year. You see the power rankings from these other outlets. And you complain that the Packers aren't top 3, top 5. So come on to your hometown boys. We'll certainly put the Packers in our top 5, top 3. Or will we? We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, Cody Grant, our producer as well. It is time for our worst in 5 power rankings, where we tell you the worst team in the league, and then the 5 best. Last week, I believe we all had the Bills as the worst team in the league. I'm actually going to mix that up a little bit. The Bills at least put up some fight against the Chargers. So for my worst team in the league, I'm going to say it's Arizona. Blanked by the Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, to me, are the worst team in football right now. Freems?
Just think there's a lot of middling teams. Teams that are just bunched up. There's not, I don't think, a horrendous team out there, but there's not many great teams. But I'm going to still keep the Bills, who showed a little life in the second half. I'm going to keep them at 32.
All right, and I've got Arizona, and Cody, your worst team in the league would be who?
Yeah, Arizona's bad, but I have to cut them a little bit slack. I mean, that was the Rams. Rams are probably one of the best teams in the NFL, so I'm going to stick with the Bills. That's just a joke of a team.
All right, you guys are going to stay with the Bills. I'm going to go with Arizona. For my top 5 teams in the league, this is tough. There's a lot of teams that are undefeated yet that I don't know if I'm quite ready to put them top 5, like the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Buccaneers, who I've been telling you, Winston is not getting that job back. I don't know if I want to put them top 5 quite yet. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Eagles still at 5. I'm going to drop them down. They were my number 1 last week, and I know they lost to the Buccaneers, but I'm still going to put them at 5. They have Carson Wentz. It looks like he is going to return this week, so I'm put them at 5. The Patriots I've got at number 4. Tough loss to Jacksonville over the weekend. I'm going to keep them at 4. And then 3 undefeated teams at top. The Chiefs are 3. The Rams at 2. And I'm putting Jacksonville at number 1. I think they were able to not only get revenge on the Patriots, but look good doing it. So I've got Jacksonville, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Eagles. No Packers in my top 5 frames.
I'm going to put the Eagles, who are getting Carson Wentz back, at number 5. Number 4, I'm going to go with New England yet.
All right.
They're getting Edelman back, and of course they added Gordon. So I'm going to say the Patriots. 3, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay.
Mahomes is like the talk of the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I'll say Jacksonville is 2. Knocking on the door of the Rams, number 1.
Chuck, we've got a very similar top 5.
Except Jacksonville and the Rams, right? Where
yeah, everything yeah. else. Just the 1 and 2 are different, and then we go both go Chiefs, Patriots, Eagles to round up the top five. Cody, are you going to make this interesting, or are you going to be lame and do just what we did?
No, I'll make it a little bit interesting. Okay. I got the Patriots dropping down to 5. They lost to Jacksonville, of course. I got the Vikings staying in my top 5. They're at number 4. Number 3, I got to put the Chiefs in my top 5. Mahomes looks like a stud. 10 touchdowns already. Number 2, Jacksonville. And number 1, I agree with Freems. I got the Rams.
So you clearly then have the Vikings over the Packers.
I did.
Chuck, is that what you would do if we extended this all the way down to 32?
Yeah, because they came into Green Bay's house and tied them.
With a hobbled quarterback.
It's right now. Our rankings right now.
What I'm saying, with a hobbled quarterback. Cousins outplayed Rodgers.
Last week I had the Vikings over the Packers and they tied, so I can't put them below the Packers.
You can do whatever you want.
Packer fan probably won't admit that Rodgers was outplayed, but you know, you look at Cousins and the numbers he put up in the fourth quarter. He had the better fourth quarter down the stretch. He led his team to a victory. Rodgers made a few mistakes. But, I mean, as of right now, Minnesota's the better team.
Usually I look at the power rankings when I have a decision. I think neutral setting, who wins? Neutral setting, I think the Packers beat Minnesota. So I'm going to put the Packers over Minnesota if we took it out that far. I don't think they're in the top 5 yet. Still some concerns about the defense, really the pass rush, which I almost don't even like saying Packers pass rush because they don't have one. So I don't like saying that. But I would put Packers over Minnesota. Those are our worst in 5 power rankings. We do it every Wednesday. Again, here's how it works for people. Get mad that everybody's disrespecting the Packers. Think on Wednesday, my boys, Bart, Cody, and Chuck, they'll take care of me. They'll put the Packers atop and then get mad when we don't.
Yeah. Well, we should, later on in the season, like December, come back and see who we had in week 2. Because it's probably going to be a little different than what we have right now. Because some of these teams, I mean, some of those 2-0 teams you're talking about who you won't put in the top 5 or I haven't put either, they might be. They might end up being top 5 in December. Who knows?
Doesn't it seem like the Chiefs start every year 6-0 and finish 9-7?
And a first-round playoff loss. Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
That Chiefs season, very similar.
That's what I'm saying. I think Kansas City, they're riding a high right now, but we'll see where they are in December.
Well, I'll tell you what. The nice thing about the NFL is that you can lose a game and still be in contention for the playoffs. In college football, that doesn't appear to be true. Are the Badgers done? Have you given up on the college football playoff after 1 loss? We'll talk about that next. We'll tell you why you should give up, but also why you should still have hope. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.